Christ went to the cross, his resurrection power is our hope. And John chapter 11 captures that. Christ's resurrection power is our hope. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your goodness to us. Lord, we just ask your hand of blessing on these few moments. Lord, that your word would just resonate in our hearts and lives, and that you would stir our hearts and lives, and that we would see that life is all about you. How we want you to be magnified or revealed through us, in us. And if you're not revealed in us, it's hard for you to reveal yourself through us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us who are in Christ today, that our cry, our heart's cry, would be that our hope would reveal a close walk with you. So, Father, we just ask that you would take the words of your scripture today, impress them deeply upon our hearts, and that your spirit would have free reign in each of our lives in a profound way for your glory and your glory alone. And we pray this in the very name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 11. Christ's resurrection power is our hope. It's one of those places of scripture that really should become one of our favorite chapters of scripture. And so if it isn't one of your favorite chapters yet, my encouragement to you would be, allow it to be. In other words, let it be something that you go to often to read through. It doesn't take long to read through 50 verses of scripture. We're not going to do the whole chapter today. Close, but not all of it. To be able to capture this truth, it ought to just impact our lives during the most difficult times in our lives. It ought to impact our lives every step of the way in life, because we ought to be living with zeal and urgency, knowing that there's a lot of people out there who don't believe in Jesus Christ, and wanting them to see in our hearts and lives that Christ really has made a difference in who we are. Now, we call that transformation, we call that growth, we call it Christ-likeness, whatever term you want to put on it. The reality is where Christ is so evidently real in our own lives that people see it. And they go, wow, there's something different about you. You know, and having the joy and the pain of going back to my home community after salvation and after school to become a pastor, I was confronted by all of the old things of life as well as the joy of all the new things, and earnestly wanting to see people, have people see me as a changed man because of who Christ is in me. It only happens through the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in a wonderful way. The story is written about Charles Spurgeon, that when he was on his deathbed, that folks gathered around him knowing that time was short for him, and they wanted to just come and encourage him. And he looked at all of them and he goes, you know, do you know what really gives me comfort in this moment? And they just remained silent. What do you say to that, to a pastor like Charles Spurgeon? And he goes, well, mine goes back to creation. You know, the psalmist says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the very creator of heaven and earth. And if he can speak this into existence, man, how easy it is to trust the Christ that went to the cross for me and died for my sins. I mean, this is an easy thing. And so then death does not scare me, and so it comforts me because I am just putting my life in his hands and he knows what's best. What a joy. Having hope, real hope, genuine hope, It is Christ's aim in this story to share with you and I and the folks that are there that he is the hope that we have. His aim. Notice how it starts in John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. Let's pause there. I want you to know that Lazarus, you know, the Jewish people really pick names because of their meaning. And this is a shortened form of Eleazar, which means he whom God helped. And I think that is just so appropriate as we see what this story contains in this moment in time in Lazarus' life. Notice how it continues. Is in Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so now we even have more information about Mary. We also have information in Luke chapter 19 about Mary and Martha, and we see that. We have all of these beautiful stories about these two sisters at different times, and now this is a story about the brother and their reaction to his illness and his sickness. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love, is sick. You know, Mary has honored the Lord in a profound way. You would find that in Matthew chapter 26 in the home of Simon the leper, of when she did that and anointing him. And now they're saying, now our brother is sick, the one that you love, he is sick. Now, Christ has a direct aim of what he wants to accomplish in this sickness, if you will. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, that's a straight statement. Now, we have seen Christ heal from a distance, have we not? I mean, the royal, the term just escapes me. That never happens to you, does it? The ruler's son, you know, and he goes, well, your faith, he's healed, you know, go home, he's healed, and everything's okay. And so we see that, and yet here he makes a profound statement. This is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God himself would be glorified through it. Now, they ought to hear this. And I'm sure that the messengers who came and shared that Lazarus was sick should have run back to Mary and Martha and shared this statement concerning Lazarus. Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So that's a true statement when she said the one that you love is sick, and he's sick. So, verse 6, he heard that he was sick. He stayed two more days in the place where he was at. Now, we find that odd. We find that very odd. We know it's a couple days' journey that he has to take to get back to where he's at. He has made a statement, you know, that should have brought reassurance to their hearts. Well, Christ said, it's to bring glory. It's not unto death. We're okay, you know. He's staying a couple extra days. In the disciples' mind, they were probably also just thinking he doesn't want to go back to Judea because of the threats that have happened, which we will see later on. But whatever reason, time now has passed. He stays. Why? Because his aim is to glorify God. That is his goal. Hope glorifies God. That ought to be the aim of the hope that you have and that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to glorify God every step of the way. Notice the disciples' concern in following verse 7. He said, and then after he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again, and the disciples said unto him, Rabbi, hey, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going back there again? You know, come on now. We've escaped a couple of times, but come on. And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because of the light of this world. Talking about the sun giving light and the fact that you can see the path that you're going. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not where? In him. He takes this and he shares with them. He's already shared that he is the light of the world. And he says the aim and the goal of this is to glorify God so that people would be able to have the light of Christ in them in the wonders of salvation. And so he's taking that which he's already declared about himself as being the light of the world, and he's making an emphatic statement in using this beautiful illustration that those who are lost, walking in the night, have their eyes darkened, however you want to term it, they stumble. Verse 11 goes on to say this, and these things he said, and after he said them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. In other words, they're looking at sleeping, just sleeping. Yeah, well, and that's what we do when we're sick. We rest, or some of us should, you know, you rest. Yeah, I'm still amazed how many people go to work with the flu. Just me, but yeah, we do that, don't we? Yeah, but we should be resting. And they're saying, well, you know, he'll get well because he's resting. Real good thought. Notice how it continues on. Then the disciples, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking of just taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, notice how he follows that up. Let that sink in, disciples. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. He wants them to believe what truth he wants to present now, which will reveal that he is the light of the world, he is the good shepherd. All of these things that he has declared himself to be now are going to come to fruition in who he declares he is next. They have a genuine concern, but his goal, his aim is crystal clear. I am going to bring glory to my Father in heaven so that I could be glorified as well. I love Thomas. He goes on, Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, oh, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, boy, that's real optimism, isn't it? You know, he's going, I'm going to go prove who I am, and my aim is to bring glory to God. And here Thomas is, yep, that's death. You know, so he's heard the truth that Christ says, I am going to die. He just got the whole thinking all askew in his heart and his head as to when and how that's going to take place. And so he's just, But what I love about him, he's willing to go. If he honestly thought that this attack or whatever was going to take place, stoning, this judgment because of the anger of the Pharisees and things like that, you know, I'm not sure. All of us would have said, yeah, let's go with him. Yeah, we can die too. I don't know. But he was willing to go in that because I think it was resonating with him. Well, Christ said there's a goal here to glorify God. Therefore, I'm willing to go, even though he's going to die. And I might die with him. You know, and the transition comes quickly once he arrives to the city. Because now you're going to see, and we're going to see, the agony, the broken heart of our Lord and Savior in so many ways. Notice what happens. And so when Jesus came, verse 17, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, that's referring to Lazarus. He's been bound up. He's been put in a tomb now 4 days. The stone is rolled over it. So Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. In other words, he's real close. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. At this time, there are professional wailers as well as those who are real genuine friends and stuff that just come alongside and wail and cry with the comfort, wanting to bring comfort and empathy within the situation of life. And Martha, many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, verse 19. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. So she goes and she goes, Martha said to Jesus, verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now notice her faith. Notice what she says. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now, that's a wonderful statement if you think about it, a statement of faith. You know, if you'd been here, my brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. But I do know this, God hears your voice in a profound way. And I know that whatever is laid on your heart to do for us, because she has paid attention as things have gone along, you know, the one blind from birth, now he sees. The one lame for 38 years, now he walks and jumps and skips. You know, the child so far away and yet, he lives. She has caught this, that their relationship is real. So let us ask our questions. You know, in the midst of our agony, do we realize just how real the relationship is between God the Father and God the Son, and if you and I are in Christ, the close relationship you and I can have with him? Do we really walk in that? And the closeness of that, knowing that God hears in a profound way. You know, we know, you know, Paul told young Timothy, guess what? The veil's been rent. You know, you and I don't have to go through anybody. You and I can go straight to God because Jesus Christ now is our advocate, the one who mediates between us and God the Father. And he is there. And so in our agony, she knows that Jesus has this profound, wonderful, great relationship with God the Father. And I know he hears you. Her heart is crying out. And Jesus seeks to soothe her, verse 23. And he said unto her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Her faith is real. She believed in the resurrection. Christ declared there was going to be a resurrection. And she says, I know my brother. He had his faith in you, and he will rise in the last day. Notice what Christ says. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. What a profound, wonderful statement. I know I keep using the word profound, but that's what it is. He is declaring he is that resurrection and life, and whoever puts their faith in him should never die. The truth of that. Then he looks at her, I believe eye to eye, and he says, do you believe this? And notice her faith statement again. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. I know that you are exactly who you are declaring, and that in your resurrection, you know, this truth, I can have hope even in the midst of my pain and agony of losing my brother one I loved, one I cared so much for, I can trust you in the midst of it. Turn to Romans chapter 10 with me. Keep your finger right there in John chapter 11. But notice how Paul shares this beautiful truth looking at salvation to the folks in Rome after he has declared there's no difference between Jewish people and Gentile people in a relationship with Christ. So Romans chapter 10, and go to verse 8. Notice what it says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, we make no bones about it. We preach Christ and Christ crucified. That is one of our core values. You know, we want to share with people that there's life in him and only in him. Notice how Paul captures this. He goes, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the resurrection and the life, you will be what?
Saved.
You know, there's this great truth in confession that Jesus is Lord, that he died for our sins. He goes on to even declare it even more. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Wow. There's no distinction between Jew or Gentile now, Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. She says, I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah. I know that who has come into the world. He died for you and I, our sins. He is the resurrection and the life. And in the midst of our agony, we can have hope in all that he is. Wow. So the question we have to ask ourselves, have you made that confession with your mouth and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to trust him in all of his death, burial, and resurrection? Because therein we find salvation. Now we get to see Christ's brokenness in the moment, starting with verse 28. And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. In other words, the Lord must have said to her, please go get your sister. I'd love to talk to her as well. And as soon as she heard that, Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. And when the Jews who were with her, Mary, in the house comforting her, and when she saw Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then, when Mary came to Jesus and saw him, notice what she does. She falls down at his feet, saying, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. The same heart cry that Martha, her sister, had. If you'd only been here, he'd still be alive. We know who you are as the Son of God. We know how God hears your voice. Verse 33, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What is going on in the heart of our Savior at that moment? Some commentators say he is angry. And I would say if he is angry, he's angry about the consequences of sin. He's frustrated with the reality that the wages of sin is death. It caused separation from God. Adam and Eve were not supposed to die. Now, they were supposed to have this beautiful relationship with God their whole lives, and yet here we see him in agony. He is seeing the hearts of so many who are still in darkness, who have no hope, and his whole aim is to bring glory to God. He sees people sincerely weeping in agony because they don't know what the future holds. There's no greater pain than to be with somebody who does not know what the future holds for them. It is so painful. And until you've done as many funerals as I have and in as many hospice situations with people who are unchurched and totally away from anything that we would consider spiritual and trying to love on them in these final moments and trying to get this person to see that there is hope, there is something beyond closing your eyes and taking your final breath, and it needs to be Jesus Christ. It needs to be Jesus Christ. And wanting them to understand this glorious truth of why Christ came to this world to give hope in the situations that bring us the most internal pain. He is groaning. He is empathizing. He is troubled because he sees the myriad of people who don't believe he is who he says he is. And he wants them to see his aim, his goal, his desire to glorify God. Notice how he goes on and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And now we see Jesus weeping. He's weeping visibly. Tears are running down his face. We see the God-man and his love for these people who are alive, his love for Lazarus just come pouring out of him. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of that blind man, blind from birth, also have kept this man from dying?" We get right back to that blind guy. Well, he keeps coming up, doesn't he? You know, and what God did on that Sabbath in bringing and restoring this man's sight who had never seen before. And we're right back there and said, "Gosh, if he could do this, he should have been able to do that, and this happened." Let's talk about the pain of death. And I know that's an uncomfortable subject. It is. We see babies die. I've done far too many funerals for infants. You know, it breaks my heart every time. There is no comfortable way. I mean, Gail's dad's in his 90s, right? And she knows Dad loved the Lord, but yet still the pain is there. It's real. You and I can't ignore it. That's the whole spectrum and everything in between. You know, as I stood there on Tuesday, you know, the reality is this young man by the name of Fox left us far too soon. He was way too young. Way too young. He had his life ahead of him. You know? The pain stinks in that moment. Death is real. And yet we have to look someplace for comfort. And the only place I can look is to my God, the one who conquered death and offers that same victory to each and every one of us. Without hope in that, my gosh, this would be a tough world to live in. I'll declare that straight up. Straight up. You know, sometimes we don't know what to say. You know, in this case, you know, family members are wondering how they failed. That's natural. Thinking somehow they could have done something different. But we can't live with that guilt and shame. We have to allow the God of hope to be the one that allows that pain to become something that he comforts, that he heals within us, so that we can walk with him anew afresh, because he is our hope. He's come to bring glory to God. What he's going to do is going to just kind of blow their socks off. I mean, Lazarus has been there for 4 days. You know, and even his sisters go on and say, yeah, are you going to do what I think you're going to do? Come on now, because of the decay of the body. Notice what happens in verse 38, because we see his authority over death. We see our Lord's authority. Then Jesus, again groaning with himself, came to the tomb. And he says it was a cave and a stone lay against it. And he says, take away the stone. And Martha and his sister said unto him, of him who was dead, said to the Lord, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. You know? And I'll just, there's always a stench around death. It stinks. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, we didn't see that in the conversation, but somewhere along the line, he must have said to Martha the same thing that he said when he got the news, this is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Didn't I say that? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe, have faith that you have sent me, that I'm the Son of God. Now when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. You know, there's always these questions of where was Lazarus for the 4 days? You know, isn't it sad that Lazarus has to go through death a second time somewhere along the line? You know, I can't answer those questions, but I do know this. Jesus Christ just proved that he's the resurrection and the life. And if he's proved it, do we all believe it? What a shame it would be this day, in this passage, that somebody here would say, nah, it's got to be me. It's got to be what I do. It's got to be what I do, rather than the truth. It is all in what Christ has done. He is the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in him, though they die, they shall live. I love what Paul says. To be absent from the body is to be present where? With the Lord. I have this confidence. I know that when Rich Bailey takes his last breath here and his heart stops beating, that day I will meet my Savior face to face. And that's not a bad thing. Now, I'm not looking forward to the process of death in any way, shape, form, or manner. Get me right. You know, I don't know what God's going to call me to and through, but I'm going to trust him. I want to trust him through that, in the midst of that, because he is the resurrection and the life. I remember just reading this beautiful little story. Let me share it with you. And this is Donald Gray Barnhouse. He lived back in the 50s, a wonderful preacher in the Northeast. And his wife died unexpectedly. And they had younger children. They were preteeners. And they're going to the funeral. They're all dressed up to go to the funeral. And they're coming up to a light that is green for them. And all of a sudden, this big semi just blows through the red light, right in front of the car. I mean, God protected him. I mean, just unbelievable. Startled, all of them. And Mr. Barnhouse, and because that brought tears, fear, he mentioned to them, what hit us? The truck or the shadow of the truck? His daughter goes, the shadow. Well, which would you rather be hit by? The shadow, it doesn't hurt. Your mom has only been hit with the shadow of death. She isn't with us, but she's with the Lord. She lives. That's faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Don't leave here today without that hope. As the worship team comes, let's stand and close our time in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for the hope that's found in your Son, and only in your Son, in his finished work. As we approach Easter and Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Lord, we just want this truth to resonate in each of our hearts and lives. That Christ did exactly what he came to do. And that was to save sinners such as me. Therein lies hope. Real hope, real joy. Even in the worst pains of life. And Father, how I pray that here in this place, this day, that there wouldn't be one who would escape that truth. That each, because they truly have confessed with their mouths and truly believe that Jesus Christ rose for them personally, Lord, that they would have life and have life abundantly. Now walking in the light of our Lord and Savior. Father, you know our hearts. Lord, how I pray. If there's one here who doesn't believe, Lord, today would be that day. And Lord, maybe there are people here that are walking through all sorts of agony. It doesn't need to be death of a loved one, but just agonies of life. Lord, how I pray that they would see you give hope, you give strength, you give victory. Here now. And Lord, that they would just reach out to you and that they would come up. And they have no need to say what distress their heart is in, but just say, please pray for me. I want to grow in my hope in Christ. I want to walk in his strength, his victory, through the power of his Spirit. Oh, Father, give them the courage to come and ask for prayer today, not put it off.